give up and let Jesus take over. And he'll make a way for you. Well, if you got mountains, that you can't climb, oh, and if you got rivers that you just can't cross, and if you got valleys that you can't span, let Jesus a hold of your hand. So
give up,
and
let Jesus
take over. Oh,
give up,
let Jesus take over. Jesus, take over, and he'll make a way for you. Now if you got burdens too hard to bear, just kneel down and talk to Jesus, 'cause I know he cares, and he'll make a way somehow. So
give up
and let Jesus take over. Just
give up
and let Jesus
take
over. And
give up
and let Jesus
take
over, and he'll make a way. I know that
you may be seated.
God bless you, sis.
I just want to stand here today and say that I'm victorious because he makes a way. And it's not just somehow. I was listening to that. It's already before the foundation of the world. So I was like, no, it's not somehow. He already has it. Yeah. And so I just want to stand here and say that. And also, I just want to give God praise today. I've worked two jobs for over 16 years. Raise them boys with the help of this church.
Come on.
Tomorrow is my last day of working two jobs.
Amen.
So I'm just giving God, because he makes a way. You know, and he shows you what to do. And you just got to be patient. And you got to be obedient. You know, because along the way, you can give up. You can, you know, and it's a lot of storms. Don't get me wrong. You know, there's not a storm, but every storm makes you more victorious and more of a warrior to stand for the next one.
Amen.
You know, I read something the other day, and it says, you know, when you've been through a lot of storms, when it start raining, you don't even flinch. And that is so true, you know. And I'm just so thankful to God for that. I'm so thankful to the ministry for that, to this body for that. And I also want to thank my husband, because, you know, he told me, he said, you need help. and he stepped up to the plate. It wasn't that he wanted to help. It was God put it on his heart and made his help bigger than his own self. It wasn't a selfish thing. It's selfless is what he did. You know, because he was at home. He had his own place. He had retired twice. He's sitting with his feet propped up. And he was like, hey, let me help you. And it started out helping me. It wasn't, oh, I'm great, get a wife out of this. It was, let me help you. Let your car broke down. Here's some keys. Take them kids to wherever they need to go. You know, I see that you probably don't have gas money. Here you go.
Come on,
you know, and it was out of the kindness that it God showed it. It wasn't, oh, I'm going to get a wife. I'm going to get five sons. It wasn't like that. It was not like that at all. And I just want to thank God for him. Amen. Also, again, did he step back out of retirement again?
Yes, he did.
Yes, he did, Pastor Moore. He at home today because he's working for me and he got tired. And he was like, you go ahead. He tagged off and he said, you go ahead and make the next round. So I'm just so thankful for that. You know, and I'm thankful for the teamwork that this body shows and the examples in the marriages that it takes to, if you have to. If you don't have to, then it takes God. And he will do it. He will provide. He will do whatever it needs. He will be your husband. He will be your friend. He will do it all. He said, I will provide for you. And just be content where he's providing for you at. You know, when I went through the divorce, did I want a divorce? No. But was I content afterwards? Yes, because I had things to do. I had other people. I had people depending on me. I had to go to school. And I just want to tell you, I didn't go to school at first. I didn't go to school till I got a divorce.
Come on.
I had a scholarship to Toledo. I didn't take it because I wanted to raise this guy.
Come on.
You know, and then I got married, John. I got married at 18 and then started having four more kids. You know, so I did not. I was a stay-at-home mom. We did it on one income, which is crazy. Did we have new cars? No. Did we always have, did the kids have everything they wanted? No. Did we eat steaks? No. I'm just going to tell you the real truth of the matter. You know, did we make it through? Yes. Was it hardship? Yes. But God will see you through, and he will make it for you. Everybody else in this body that has more than one or two kids, they know what I'm talking about. The Bradys, the Deskins, everybody, even John and Don, one income is hard. And it's even worse in this day. You can't hardly do it on one income. You just really can't. And so I'm just so thankful because God does make a way. And again, I just want to thank everybody in this body for your time, your sacrifice, your love for my children. I can't praise this body enough. And I, you know, I can just go to everybody, everybody's face and say, you helped, 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 you helped. You know, even with the loves and the prayers. So I just want to just really from the bottom of my heart say thank you. I'm so glad to be a part of this body. Amen. I'm glad that God chose me to be a part of this body because he could have put me anywhere. You know, you're not promised to live in the United States just because you bride. You're not promised to go to 1744 Superior just because you bride. You know, there's people that are bride that's really doing hardship in other countries. And we are very, very blessed where God has placed you. And he also has given your palate for this church. You know, we couldn't eat anyplace else. And I'm just so thankful. I just want to give God all the praise and the honor that he deserves. And I just want to say amen.
Oh my amen.
I'm blessed to be a part of this body. It's one of the best group of people I've ever encountered. Amen. You know, and it's because of this word.
Right.
This word is what we have in common.
Amen.
Everything else. Everything else, heaven and earth will fail.
Right.
But one word, one stroke of a letter of this word, it will never fail.
That's right.
Never fail. Well, you know, people will let you down. You know, things will let you down. Circumstances will let you down. But this word has always been true.
Amen.
It's always been right. Even when I was wrong. You know, this word is always right. And, you know, what I love about it is that we don't force nothing around here. We got a push in us, but we don't force anything. God's never forced anything. It's always naturally happened with God. God's just naturally manifested himself in each and every one of us. And, you know, we're dealing with a world here that people have no love one to another. It's waxed cold, so cold you couldn't warm it up. You couldn't give enough heat to it. You couldn't give enough word to it. No matter how you serve it, you couldn't give enough. It still wouldn't turn their love. It still wouldn't turn their hate into love. That's what we're dealing with. And we need to act like, we know that. This revelation has given us so much. So much. We sit here and we take it for granted every time. I look at it in myself and, man, we are very spoiled. We're fortunate. So fortunate. You guys, I was thinking about it today. We have a pastor's pastor. Let me slow that down. A pastor that pastors pastors. I think we have we're like the highest, the highest. We're up here. We're at the top of the mountain. There's nothing. Jim said it. He said it better than I can say it. I just believe him. Amen. This word is everything. And I'm just grateful to be here.
Yes, sir.
And let me get the announcements out of the way here. There's a bonfire at Caleb and Andrea's, 29th. That's this weekend, 6:30. And Caleb, he said if you want to bring tents and camp, this is per Caleb. If you want to bring a tent, sleeping bags and stuff like that, camp out, feel free. So I think I might take him up on that. I need a place to stay here tonight. But crochet class is the third Sunday of each month at 6 p.m. And there's more info in the back to look at. And then we have the special services Saturday, Sunday, October 14th and the 15th. But October 14th is going to be on Saturday night at 7 p.m. And then October 15th at 10 a.m. Dinner following, and we should be having a Bible study that night too. So yeah, wonderful. God bless you. So glad to be here.
Amen.
Let's sing out of the. Yes. God bless you. Amen.
Trying to get back in my groove, guys.
All right. Amen. Come on.
Slowly moving
towards. Yes. Amen.
We're going to sing a song we practice and have Jada and Jonathan and Miss Courtney. It's called Spirit Breakout. And we'll sing that. I got some words for the body. We'll kind of use it as a practice and a learning. So,
amen.
Figure if we got enough soloists there to help us, we can figure it out. Let me give one second. Thank you, sir. Yeah, I got one. Yep, I got one. Good. Make sure I give one to Jada.
So you'll see on your words there, guys. It's just follow me on it. The words are there, but how we're going to sing them, let me direct you on that, because I think I printed them off a lot of them. So we have it where it repeats, but it's showed up on there a bunch of times. So just let me guide you guys through that. I'll walk you through it. I'll say, everybody sing with me, and then let you know on that. So it's going to be Jada singing, then Miss Courtney, then the body, then Jonathan, then the body, and then the body, 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 and then we'll close the song out. So that's how it goes.
Running point thing.
Yeah.
Point thing.
And, yes, sir.
Our Father, Spirit, break out. Break our walls down. Spirit, break out. Let our walls down. Spirit, break out.
We want to see, hallelujah.
We want to see your kingdom here.
Amen. You can be seated.
Bless this body. All right, let's sing 35 out of the. Oh, go ahead, brother.
Thank God for being here this afternoon.
Yes,
always good to be back here. You know, when Sister Michelle was speaking, you know, I thank God for God placing me in this church. It's an honor to really be here. It really is. I mean, you know, what she's mentioned about, you know, the bride out there, they have it rough, you know, out there and having the law on them, as far as, like, the law of the land in that sense. I'm just glad that, you know, we're free here. We're free. We, you know, much as we gripe about the United States, we don't have as bad as over across the country and stuff like that. We don't. I thank God for, I really do thank God for this place. I do, because Amen. This place is a safe haven. It is. And you take it for granted. You don't realize what we got here. And, you know, I just thank God more and more that placing me in this church and not just place me, but just give me an understanding, too, Amen. Of what's been preached, too. Because, you know, you can sit here. Yeah, that's one. You can sit here. But after that, getting a revelation of what's going getting preached here, you know, and that's the biggest thing. Because you don't want to just sit here and just wasting time. I don't want to do that. That's crazy. You can go to any church if you're going to just sit in a church. But actually getting a revelation of what God's telling you, that's the most important thing. And I thank God for that. Amen. Having an understanding. Amen. I do. And if I don't have the answer, I thank God that God will be able to Bible study. You know, Brother Moore is talking about the law, breaking it down, you know, about the marriage and divorce. They had that wrong. Church-wise, that wrong. And I thank God that we don't have that wrong. We know what it is. I thank God for that, because that can hold somebody up really bad.
Amen.
If you're sitting there struggling as maybe a single woman that's having a lot, like Sister Michelle was saying, if you have a burden on you, you'll think, well, I can't get married again because the Bible says it. But, you know, when God reveals it to you and gives you revelation,
Amen.
It means a lot. It does, because what Pastor Moore said, if you have two believers that love God, what are you going to say to that? You know, me and Sway got together. It wasn't We have an age difference. I'm gonna tell you again. She has kids. I don't. She loves animals. I don't. I mean, I'm just being honest. I'm just being completely honest with you. She's Asian and white. I'm black. I mean, you got all the way around. I mean, you know. So, but the thing about that was drawn to me to her, that God, because she loved God. I mean, right. She come from a Catholic church. Yeah, she did. But you know, I saw desire. I was like, well, you know what? Yes. I can work with that. You know, and Pastor told me no. You know what I've done? I would have never even got married to her because I take God serious. I would. I'm not playing around with this. I'm not. This is my life here. I came to a point now. If you want God, it's on you.
That's right.
It's your life. At the end of the day, it's your life. And I'd be amazed, you know, when people were like, you know, I don't want God. Well, hey, that's your choice. It's your choice. You know, we have this way. It's your life, what you want to do. I mean, yeah, like Seth said, you can come on the bumper of the car or you can be in the air conditioning car. It's up to you. It's your choice. And if you're going to live like a devil, you might as well live it up. You might as well. No sense point in playing church. So, you know, I thank God for that. I don't mean that to be funny. I really been sincere about being in this place. I really do. I thank God for just God just giving me the desire to come to church. Let's just say that. Desire to just to be here, not just want to just sit at home. I know what my bread is buttered on. And I thank God for that. So I just want to say that.
Amen. Yes, Sister Mel, God bless you. Come on in.
Just have to get up.
Yes.
I have nothing to say, but it's in my heart to get up because that first Amen. Song that you all played, it was already in my mind, and I couldn't get up fast enough because the words weren't there. But I'm just thankful for this word, and it is my desire. I mean, I could never sing like the pastor, but it is my desire to be here and grow in this word. Yeah. And what I thought about after Bible study is when you go to school, you have to read the textbook. And I can't expect to come in here and just hear them preach. I want to hear everything they want to preach. But you have to read and kind of learn this for yourself. And so since Sunday, I've been digging, and it just made more sense. Like you said, go back and read it again after you hear it. And I'm thankful for that because it did make a difference. Now, I'm not going to veer off and just read everything, but I want to be able to follow up on what you're teaching because I want to be at the end of the road when it comes time to go home. I want to be one of them. Amen. So I have a song. I don't know the words, but I want the devil to know that the victory is mine.
Amen. Try.
And I would like to try to sing that just a little bit, but I need some words. But victory is mine.
Victory is mine. Victory today is mine. I'm toasting. Get me behind. Victory in mine is mine. Victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory today.
I thank God. Amen. You know, today, Amen. You know, I enjoy, Brother Moore gave us many nuggets, but I'm going to talk about the nuggets that resonate with me. He has told me again and again, and he's told us again and again and again, enjoy where you are. You know, I got a chance to go swimming today, and it was just nice to be in the water. And just enjoy where you are. Brother Moore's told me, I came to church one day many moons ago, and I said, Brother Moore, I saw a light out over here. And he looked at me, and as pleasant as he could, and as you know, Brother Moore, he said, Sister Belinda, if you see it, it's yours. And I appreciate a man of God. And I appreciate a man of God and a body of God. And we see that in this church. When Brother James, you know, God bless him, God brought him through.
My goodness.
And he gets up and he does and he does and he does. He steps in, he fills shoes. He's a hard act to follow. And no, and I don't think anybody would want to do that. Because we've been taught, you know, you have your own life, right? And you better do what God is instructing you to do. Amen. And I thank God for a minister of God that gives me the word.
Amen, amen, amen. Amen. Wow, wow, wow. This body, whew, my goodness, the most powerful group ever.
Amen.
I'm so humbled to be here. Let's sing out of the Only Believe 35, Love Lifted Me. Get him up. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the water lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me.
I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Yes, love. Love lifted me when nothing else could help. Love lifted me.
Amen. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to come together tonight. We come here to fellowship and rejoice in your word.
Yes.
Let the joy of the, let the strength of the word just renew our joy of our salvations, how they say it. Lord, bring just open the word amongst the people. Lord, you know what we're here waiting for, just to hear from you. Lord, bless the prayer requests that go out. We got Brother Trevor, the Brinkmans, the Deskins, the Allens, the Pickens, the Copelands, the Moores, all of the body, Lord, here and abroad. Lord, bless the word that we're going to receive tonight. Help the hearing the speaker get out of the way. And just bless the rest of the service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. It's good to be here tonight.
Amen.
It's good to see you guys. Enjoy hearing that my mom's retired now. That's what it's like in this church. One job is considered just retirement, basically. Everybody's been working two jobs for the last 16 years, so to speak. So that's good to know. I love my mom, so I'm excited to hear that. I love the testimony of her and Brother Lockett as well. You know, that should be, I'll get started here in a second, but just thinking about, you know, I saw that in action. I saw Brother Lockett helping the body, and, you know, that's a good thing to understand even when you're young. Like, just be patient. God will take care of you. You know, I remember when I was coming up, some people would, you know, want to rush to start dating or rush to get married or rush to have kids. And there's no reason to rush any of that. You know, kind of almost looking like my kids. When I see my kids and they want to rush to grow up, it's like, I don't know why you're rushing to do that. You enjoy where you're at. If you're in kindergarten and you're just coloring, thank God for little responsibilities. You know, because there's going to be more as you go along. You know, you think about, you know, even when people get married, they go, oh, I want to hurry up and have kids. It's like, I don't know why. You know, I don't. You're rushing the time period. You're missing out on all the things that you can enjoy. I mean, even when your kids are little and they don't talk, you go, I wish they could talk. Well, I don't know why. You know, as a person, when you look back on these things, you go, you were rushing for no reason. You know, or I wish they could walk. Why? Why don't you just enjoy carrying them? You know, when they walk, they're going to do some other things. And when they run, they're going to do some other things. Then when they drive, they're going to do some other things. You know, I'm looking at it now and I got two kids and I wish they were just laying in the bed with us every night. You know, but when they were little, it was like, why don't you go to your own bed? You know, but now I'm like, I wish they would sleep in our bed, you know? So it's just one of those things. But, as you go through things, you can see it. But hopefully in this church is what I really love is that you don't have to necessarily always go through things to get the gold out of it. You know, you don't have to go through a divorce to know what divorce can do. You don't have to go out there in the world and to know what the world can do. You can learn from the examples here. Let's use them. You know, let's use the examples. You know, you said, you know, Sister Belinda said, you know, we all don't want to follow Brother Jay. Don't follow that. There's some things that I did wrong I don't want you to ever do. You know, so learn from those examples. And I hope I never sugarcoat the pain and trials and all those kind of things. Kind of like how Brother Seth says it. You know, there's going to be a bill due. Yeah, some people just ain't ready to pay it. So I don't want you to have to take on a bill that you can't pay. It's hard, you know, so paying any bill is hard, but I'd rather you use the examples in here, float through life. I want to see it as easy as possible. I want you to get a degree, get a great job where you can make it on one income, because there's some jobs where you could make it on one, but, you know, there's some where you need three or four. You know, I've seen it where if you're just cutting grass, you need a lot of lawns, you know. It's just the nature of it. That's the math of it, so it is what it is, but I'm glad to be here tonight. I'm anxious to be back in the saddle. You know, I had dinner with Brother Jeremiah last night, and we were just talking about how, you know, now we're back in the groove again, and I don't have to, you know, I can stand up and move, and I don't have to worry about that. So now I can preach at a drop of a hat. I can be instant in season and out of season. You know, before I'd have to sit down, and even when I was in the hospital, I was like, well, maybe I can just sit in the chair, or they can roll the wheelchair out, and they could do the. I was thinking a bunch of stuff, but God knew what He was doing. I was rushing that. Even there. I was like, well, maybe I sit in the back, not sit next to people. And then when I'm done, I sit there in a wheelchair. And then I was mapping it out. I was like, I want to be here. And I didn't know how I was going to do it. But God had a time and thing for everything. And when He does it, it's better than what you could have imagined. I mean, it's better than, I'm healed faster than I could have imagined. I speak louder than I could have imagined. I'm more revelated than I could have imagined. You know, I have a better understanding than I could have imagined, you know. So I'm looking forward to this. But, you know, Pastor Moore did an excellent job Sunday explaining the importance of the birthright. And that story of Jacob and Esau, like, I had done Bible studies all my life, and I never saw it like that. I never saw Jacob and Esau like that. And Pastor Moore, you
It just made it a new story, you know, and it's just so many more depths to it. And before Satan tries to buffet you that, oh, I didn't get all those depths. Don't worry about it. I had been reading Bible stories for 40 years, and I just got it Sunday. So at least give God 40 years to give you that if it's going to be that. But don't try to rush it, you know. Amen. Just enjoy it. Take it for what it is. If he gives you just got, Esau I hated and Jacob I loved, then just stay right there until he opens something else up. Because otherwise you're going to be out on some limbs that you don't that won't hold you up. And then Brother Jeremiah, Sunday night, my goodness, he did the book of Romans. And you know, the church bought me a Scofield Bible, and I don't know, maybe I was reading the wrong version, but Romans 7 didn't look like it did when I was studying by myself. And then when Brother Jeremiah's going through it, I'm like, yeah, that makes sense. Of course that makes sense. That ties to this. That ties. Now I can go to Romans 8 and 9, but before I was in 7, like in a loop, like just a, how do I get out of this? But, you know, but thank God for Brother Jeremiah, and it just made me just think about, like, even with God's timing, you know, God told Brother Jeremiah, I think he's 17 or 18. Yeah, no, I was thinking of, yeah, he's covering for me, but I was thinking about how long ago it was when God told him that he was to be the next pastor. Yeah, he was a young man. 21? Was what? 23, thank you. He was going into the ministry a little later, earlier than that, but he was 23 when thought, man, anybody that doubted it, my goodness. You're an idiot now. You see the manifestation of it. You're like, you're an idiot. I've been around a long time. I don't see anybody that went from age 23 to where he is now in the message that have progressed like he's progressed. I don't. You talk about being the tippity top, right? He's been learning under pastors. He had Brother Childers. We got the best of the best all the way around. We've got the best ministry. We've got the best song leaders. We've got the best teachers. We've got the best preachers. When you look at it the right way, you know, I can look at it, because there's people that can probably play the piano or the trumpet better than I can, but do they have the right desire like I have? Do they know the God that they're serving? Does God even hear you? You know, it says make a joyful noise. You're just noise. He loves to hear me. He loves to hear the song that I'm singing. I turn him on. When I get excited, he's excited. He looks forward to seeing me. He says, I know that person. That's mine. That's my own. That's my bride. It looks a little different when I'm speaking. You know, when I pray, God answers me. Matter of fact, that's what Jesus even said. He said, Father, I know you always. I know you always hear me. You know, so that's how I can say we're the best of the best, because I know God always hears us. But I want to stay right on topic tonight and talk about that birthright. And where I'm going to go with that tonight is, you know, that birthright to me, the other term that I was thinking of was inheritance. And you know, I'll get into that, because when you think about a birthright, it's something that you get when something dies. So that's even what Esau was saying. He was like, how would this birthright even profit me? I'm about to die. Like, I'm about to die, so I won't even get the benefit of the birthright if I pass away. But that's Esau didn't see it the right way. He didn't know that birthright could take care of past, present, and future. He didn't know that birthright was going to take care of even if he did die. You know, so you know, looking at that, it's like, man, it's more like an inheritance that, you know, and we know that, you know, to be true with assets when you pass it down in the family. You get an inheritance. When somebody dies, when something dies, you get the benefit of gifts and all these different things. And I thought, you know, I don't want to take my inheritance for granted, you know, because what we get here is, I'm going to go into some of the benefits of it, but I thought, we get more than just, you know, silver and gold. You know, I get more than just some cash. I get something that nobody can take away. I get something that the world didn't even give it to me. So I know they can't take it away, no matter if I'm in my highest of high or my lowest of lows. This gift that I have, the world can't take it away from me. And you go, well, what died? My old soul died. Amen. You know, because that's what died that really gave me this inheritance. Amen. That old soul died. See, it's not something that my soul got cleaned up. My soul didn't get cleaned up. It died. And because it died, something had to step in there for me to continue to live. That's God's own life. When it's God's own life, that ties me to a bunch of other things. The gift of that is eternal life. Oh, my. So I got the gift of eternal life. And I thought, man, you know, we talk about the gift of eternal life and the token and the birthright, inheritance, all these terms. They can mean the same thing if you're talking to believers. They don't mean the same thing when I'm talking to people that don't believe. Because if I talk about an inheritance to somebody that doesn't believe, they think it's only natural. If I talk about Jesus paying the price for sin, they only think it's that. But they never can tie it into full eternity. If you know, because I know my birthright ties me into my inheritance. My inheritance ties me to the family of God. If I'm tied into the family of God, that means I'm going to return to God where I came from. And if that means if I'm tied to God, that means God's own life is living in me. That means I can't reject the word of God no matter who brings it.
That's
No matter how loud they bring it, how soft they bring it, how stern they bring it, how strong they bring it, there is a life on the inside of me that will say yay and amen to every single word of God. Amen. That's my birthright. That's my inheritance. That's my token. Those are all those terms rolled together if you know where you're talking about.
That's
right. So that being said, I'm going to read one scripture here before I get in trouble because I normally don't read scriptures. So it saved me some trouble. I know you guys believe me. So we're going to go over to Romans 15 through 18. Romans 8, 15 through 18. So it says, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs." That's the root word of inheritance. "Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also glorified together." Praise God for the reading of his word. Because that's our foundation. We know that we are a part of God. Amen. We know that. There's nothing that can take that away from us. There's nothing that anybody can say to us that can take that away from us. That gives us a foundation. I thought, you know, even when you think about Jacob and Esau, and because we've been talking about that story about it, Jacob had a love for his birthright, and he knew the importance of it. Amen. Esau had no idea the importance of it, so it didn't matter to him at all. But, and I thought, man, you know, even when we talk about the firstborn dying away, that my new birth makes me a firstborn. And I looked at, I was like, because I was trying to look at it a different way. I was like, maybe I'm the secondborn. Like, no, that old guy died. My new birth is a new person. I'm not the middle child in this thing. I'm a firstborn of God. I'm among many brethren, but I'm the firstborn among many brethren like that. And I thought, my goodness, because sometimes you put so many terms and natural words on it that you try to trip yourself up. But God doesn't have grandkids. God doesn't have grandkids. See, it's seeds of God and sons and daughters of God. And I thought, yeah, that new birth, that I don't need another new birth. That's what I'm getting at. I'm like, I don't need two new births. I've got a new birth. That's it. The old soul was died and annihilated. That ties me into the body of Christ. That ties me into all the other benefits. And I thought, praise God for it. Because, you know, Jesus paid it all.
Amen.
You know, he did pay it all. When you think about all that he paid for our past, present, and future sins. So sin is not even equated to me. That's not something that I'm even worried about. But I thought, my goodness, when we look at all these things, and another term I want to throw in there is the token. Because when you realize that through the ages, all the believers, they had an inheritance. All the other believers had that blood birthright. And we all know that something had to die. That blood had to be shed. Now, in the type of it, you go over to, you know, the children of Israel when they had the blood put over the door to save the life of the firstborn. Even if the Egyptians would have done that, it would have saved the life. God would have had to honor that faith. He would have honored that faith. So if they would have just put blood, the hyssop blood over the door, their firstborn would have been saved. So it was to everyone that he gave that promise to. But just unbelievers, there's nothing they could do about it. The same way Cain couldn't do anything about it. Same way Esau couldn't do anything about it. Same way the Egyptians couldn't do anything about it. But when I hear it, I can't help but to apply the blood. When I hear that Jesus paid it all, I can't help but to apply the blood. What do I do that pleases God? That I always believe his word. I always believe it. That's even what they said about Noah. They said Noah found favor in God because he had faith. That's how I find favor, is that I have faith in his word. I believe all of his promises. So when God promises me something, I take him at his word and I stand right on it. And I thought, my goodness, through the ages, each person got a different reward and a different thing like that. I thought even that, and Pastor Moore was talking about a prophet's reward. And I thought, man, there's been so many rewards for prophets throughout the ages. And you think about even like Elijah and Elisha. So Elijah was a major prophet. They had all these different things going on, had a lot of power. Elisha saw it and said, hey, I want a double portion of what you got. He said, well, if you stay with me, endure to the end, you'll get the prophet's reward. And he said, okay, I'm going to stay right there with you the whole time. And when the chariot of fires came taking away, he was right there watching the whole time. He got a prophet's reward. He got double what Elijah had. And I thought, man, that's a good reward. But what did I get? I got the token. Nobody else has the token. The token wasn't even available to the end time. He goes, well, Brother Jay, what are you talking about? I have the ability. What was my prophet's reward? He said, you and your loved ones. Amen. Oh, that changes the game. That changes the game. All that you love and all that love you. See, you know why that's so important in this hour? Because it's the most neurotic age, the most hateful age, the most selfish age that you would ever have to walk through, and that you got to see your loved ones fall this way and fall that way to confusion, to mental things, all these different things, to unbelief. And you know without a shadow of a doubt that I am the life giver, that I can take who I want to take. Oh, that gives me peace when the rest of the world is in chaos. That's what I needed in this hour. Oh, do I need the power to heal sickness? Nah, not so much now. Oh, I need it. I don't need the power of Elijah now. I don't need the power of Elijah. I don't need Moses' gift. I don't need Noah's gift. I don't need Jonah's gift. I need the power to take my loved ones. That's the prophet's reward. That's what's entitled to me in this hour. That's what I get to inherit. Everybody else gets all their own gifts. That's fine. But the token was not available until the end time. That's why I said the terms are the same. I can say the token. I can say the inheritance. I can say the birthright. Those terms can go together, because if you have a token, that means you have a new birth.
That's right.
If you have a token, that means you got the message of the hour. That means you understand your day in this hour. That means you have a new birth. That means you have the revelation. All those things go together.
Yeah.
But it's just where you're at, where you time it out. And I thought, my goodness, we can see ourselves through all the ages of the believers, but now we can see ourselves and being able to take our loved ones. And I thought, my goodness, because God has been so good to us to give us that understanding.
Amen.
You think about, I mean, even Brother Isaiah was talking about how this world is so cold. You know, you can be out on the ice and you can start a fire and it still won't melt everything. There's people that camp out on the ocean when it's frozen solid. They put a fire in their tent and don't worry about sinking. It's that cold. The world is colder. The world is colder. They have no love for God at all. They mock you. They shame you. That being a Christian is a bad thing. Having a love for the truth is a bad thing. This is Satan's eating. This is Satan's eating. Total unbelief. But you got an opportunity to come into the house of God surrounded by love. 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 That's what lifted me. I come in here, I can have a bad day, bad week, bad hour, whatever, who cares? Leave it at the door. I come in here and I'm surrounded. Surrounded by love. I'm surrounded by a bunch of people that read the same will I read. They looked over and said, you get what? $1 million? You get a million. You get them. Oh, you can take this one, you can take that one. Yes, I got an unlimited pass to take who I want to take. See, I don't want Satan to put any limitations on it. I don't want to put any limitations on where I'm even going to put them. I want them all with me. That's what I want to do. I put them all with me. If God separates them, he'll separate them. But I'm taking them all with me. Nobody's going to be unhappy when they get over there. Because see, the church world will have you going, okay, well, you can take people, but you can't take everybody. Well, why? You can't take them. Why can't I take them? Well, maybe I don't take them in the rapture. Maybe they don't go in the rapture. They're still going to heaven. They're going to be there. It's gonna seem like 1 second to me anyway. When you're in eternity, it's going to be 1 second anyway. I'll be at the marriage supper like, oh, there they are. There they are. There they are. Good to see you.
Amen.
Why? See, that's just carnal mind selfishness. That's really what it is. Because you know what they're really underlying saying to you is, that person didn't do enough to get the reward I got. That's what you're really saying. Be honest. Stop lying to yourself. You're saying you live so holy. You were so good. You kept the word so much that you deserve a special spot in heaven. No, it ain't like that. Even Brother Childers gave us a simple example, because Sandy was thinking, maybe I'll be on this side and then your other wife will be on this side. Brother Childers was like, it ain't like that. It won't even be like that over there. It won't even be that kind of love over there. You're thinking over selfishness over here. That's not how it works. You'll just be happy to be there. I know I don't deserve to go. That's why I'm so grateful. That's why I'm so humble about it. I know I didn't do anything in myself to make it. All I did was simply believe the word of God for this hour, and it entitled me to all those other benefits. Oh, that's it. I'm just a part of the family of God. I'm sorry you weren't born in it. But I was. So I'm going to enjoy it. Oh, you know, my mom was talking about us growing up. Yeah, didn't get steaks as kids then, but we eat steaks now. Sorry. Wasn't born in this house. But we eat steaks now. It's nice. I'm telling you, I got good teaching here. You know, some people don't have that like that. Some people don't get a rest. Some people can't go to a funeral and understand what's going on. Some people can't go to a hospital and understand what's going on. Some people can't see a priest praying over somebody saying, I hope they gave their life to Christ before they died, and not get nervous. That don't happen to me. I don't care who preaches at the funeral. I know what I can do. I don't care who sings and cries at the wake. I know what I can do. I don't care what classroom I walk into. I know what I can do. I don't care what job I walk into. I know what I can do. I don't care what kind of boss I have. I know what I can do. I know that I'm the life giver. I know without me, the lights don't come on. I am the light, the truth, the way, and the door. No man can go to God unless he comes through me. That's how we talk as inheritance. Oh, that's bold. I'm the only heir in here. That's how I talk. Right, if you want to see the checkbook, my name's the only one on there. If you want to get paid, you better come and see me. I'm here now. That's when you know you got authority. And it's not fake authority. You know, like even Brother Branham talked about how a cop, he can stop a car just like this. That doesn't mean he's strong enough to stop the car. It's just the authority that he possesses stops the car. They recognize the power and the office. That's how it is for anything I come across. A spirit, it recognizes the authority. Amen. You can see a spirit coming up and you can stop it. You can stop it even in your home. Amen. You can stop it in your home. You know, and I would tell you, I would give you some advice. I heard some advice the other day. It said, check with God on everything. That's some good advice. That's some real good advice. I'd implore everybody to do that. You know, there's going to come a time when you're going to know what to do. But until you know for sure, I'd bug them. I'd bug him. I'd stay at Pastor Moore's house and just bug him. I would. I'm giving you some advice. I'd bug him until you were sure, sure. What? You go, well, Brother Jay, where's the precedent for that? I've seen people that come to this church and they would raise their hand after every service like, I got a question. And God was answering those questions. And that brother didn't have long to live. Brother Reggie, he was here. He only had a short amount of time. He had to get all he could get. Get all you can get. If you're young and single and you got questions about, I'd ask him on every person I was going to date before you even date them. Hey, I just saw this person the other day. They work with me. What do you think about them? Well, tell me a little bit more. Well, that's all I know. Okay, when you learn some more about them, go bring it back some information. I'm just telling you how to start off right. It'll save you a whole world of mess of problems. Hey, I'm thinking about applying for some jobs. Where do you think I should look at? I'm just telling you how to get some help. I'm telling you got some benefits in here. Go ahead and use them. Don't go out there and mess up on your own. Get some help. Amen. Get some help. That way you can say, God said. Amen. Oh, because there's been plenty of times that I've messed up things, but I go back to, but God said that this would work out. Amen. Now, he knew I was terrible. He knew I was a bad boy. He's going to have to fix some things. But he said, I didn't say, he said. And that's how you can hold him to some things. But if you don't ever go to him, don't ever talk to him, don't ever get his mind on it, then you have nothing to stand on. That's just like you don't read the Bible. You don't know if I'm going in Romans or not. I could be reading from Ephesians. You don't even know if it ties in. You see people sometimes when they quote different parts, and if you don't know the whole quote, they're just reading one portion of the sentence. I want to read the whole thing. Tell me the whole paragraph. What did he say before that? What did he say after that? Tell me the context and how it applies. You know, that's how you even know somebody's a good reader. They can do conceptual things. They get the concepts. They can understand how it's supposed to fit together. That shows intelligence. Don't just Paul parrot at me and tell me he said this and then let that be the gospel. No, no, no. I'm like Brother Childers said, ride that horse all the way out. Just keep riding. Let me see where it ends up. Just ride it all the way out. Because at the end of it, this is what I do know. I am bride. So however you started, it better end with me being in the rapture. However you started, it better end with me understanding my day in this message. However you started, it better end that this is the last days and the last hours, and that grace is so high above the law that the law's not even in the picture. And you say, Brother Jay, what are you getting at? I'm saying that when you know who you are, I'm not shaken by anybody that doesn't know who I am. They're the confused one. Yeah, I don't need the smelling salts. I know who I am. I know who I am. I get in here and I get woken up to who I am. You remind me. But the rest of the world, I don't take a backseat for that at all. Matter of fact, I'm almost doubtsome to even act like I don't know out there. Because I know so much. I know too much. You talk about being spoiled, Brother Isaiah. We're spoiled. We know so much. We've been sitting under the fountain all this time. I mean, Sunday school would confound them. I was back there reading this all. Predestination, foreknowledge, Romans 8:28. They was like, my goodness, you couldn't take that somewhere else. No. Talk about God's foreknowledge. He knows who's going to accept the word. Oh, they don't like that. Because that puts too much free moral agency on it. They want to be selected and chosen. No, no, that's not how God works. He saw what you did with the word. And then as that tree falleth, so shall it lie. Whatever you did with the word, no external factors at all. Whatever you did with the word is what you did with the word. And that's what he knows. and from that he predestined. See, that'll shake him up. That'll shake him up. Oh, man, let me get back to some of this stuff over here. See if I got another scripture for you guys. But I'm just looking forward to this thing because, you know, I know what I know. And it's one of those things where there's nothing that trips me up. We just know too much. I mean, I think about that. And I'm thinking, you know, we're so blessed in this thing that to have the truth that we have that gives us a balance on everything. You know, we really are just those rich kids that don't really have things to worry about. I mean, there's things that we don't have to worry about that you make it up yourself. Like you make up problems.
Right.
You go out and get somebody that won't help you. You do that yourself. You go out and get a job somewhere when you know God told you not to do it. You go out and mess around with friends that God told you not to mess with. You go out and, I mean, we make up problems. I'm just saying in here, we can make up problems. Because we know so much. And here's what I'm getting at. None of us are tricked by Satan. None of us are tricked by Satan. None of us can say we were caught unaware. None of us can say, I didn't know no better. You've been taught, you've been eating meat since the first day you got in here. Now, if you were suckling at the teat, drinking milk, I would say maybe you had a chance that you didn't know. But from day one you come in here, you get meat upon meat upon meat. You get word upon word, precept upon precept, truth upon truth. And ignorance is not even acceptable. There's no more winking at ignorance in this hour. You're at full maturity on day one when you come in here. We expect you to walk, talk, and be a man of your word. I thought, my goodness, because one of the things that I heard last night as well, he said, we're not 5:15-ish people or 5-ish people. If we say 5 o'clock, it's 5 o'clock. If we say 6 o'clock, it's 6 o'clock. The church, the world out there is ish, like 5-ish, 6-ish, 6:30-ish, around that time. No, we're settled. When God says it, that's what we believe.
Amen.
And I thought about that. I thought, that's so right. We take God at his word exactly. You know, because see, the church world, they're tired of waiting on God. That's what happened.
Yeah.
They didn't know when he was showing up.
Yeah.
So they don't know how long to wait. And they're tired.
Yeah.
I'm not tired. I know right when he's coming.
Right.
I know this is the last day.
Yeah.
He told me his secrets.
Yeah.
I'm not waiting in vain. I have the bus schedule. I know when it's going to show up. I know who's getting on the bus. I know what time they're leaving. I know what order we're getting on. I know what seat I'm at. It's different if you're sitting at the bus stop, don't know when it's going to show up. Yeah, you will get tired. Yeah, you will get downtrodden. Yeah, the weather will change and you'll think, oh, this rain is going to rain me out. But if you know it's showing up in 30 seconds, oh, it's no problem. Oh, we went to Disney and you'd see these little buses and they come up and they'd say the name of the place that it had to go to. And if they didn't see your name, if you didn't see the name of the hotel that you were staying at, you'd be like, oh, man, we're going to have to wait longer. But you see your name of the hotel you're staying at, oh, it didn't matter if it was raining, storming. You're like, I see my bus. I know it's coming. I'm about to get on and sit down. That's how it is. I've seen the buses go through. I saw Paul's. I saw Irenaeus. I saw Martin's. I saw Luther's. I saw Wesley. And I'm looking, I'm saying, now it's my bus's turn. Now I'm ready to go. Oh, I saw the buses ready to take people back. I'm ready to get out of here now. I know it's time to go. See, that changes everything. That changes even the mindset. It changes on what you're going through. Everything is just temporary.
Amen.
Everything is temporary when you understand what's going on. When you know that this birthright takes care of your past, present, and future, this takes care of eternity, that is a benefit. Because, you know, when I'm talking about that, I'm saying we got heaven taken care of. That's not in the question. That's not in the cards. That's not in any notes. That's going to happen. I am going to heaven. That is something that I am entitled.
Oh, yeah. Right.
That is something that God is required to give me.
That's right.
He gave that to me because I'm his own life.
That's, right.
That's the only way we can reign together.
Right.
If I was temporary, I couldn't be with God.
That's right.
And so that makes me even look at like temporary things. I thought, I don't even have to let them bother me.
No. Right.
I don't even have to let them bother me because I think about that and I think, Lord, just keep reminding us. You know, just keep reminding us. Every time we come in here, give us another reminder.
Yeah.
A little gentle reminder, like, God saw you finish this thing.
Yeah.
You know, God saw you finish this thing. Just remember the end of the movie, you know.
Yeah.
As even Brother Skyler was saying that one time, he said, I know how this thing ends.
Yeah.
I know how this thing ends. I know I end up in heaven.
Yeah.
Along the way, whatever I got to do, whatever I got to see, whatever I got to take, that's okay. And the benefit of it is that I kept going over is that I get to take my loved ones with me. And I thought, my goodness, there's nothing more grateful that I can be than to be able to say, yes, I can take this person with me because I can take them out of this world.
Amen.
You know, you talk about even Brother Skyler said it on Sunday. He said, you know, I want to, my mom's going out of town and this and that and the things. But the rapture will take care of my mom.
Right.
Me and my dad are not talking that much, but the rapture will take care of that. Right. Me and my brother are knuckleheads. I can say the same thing. The rapture will take care of that. The rapture will take care of that.
Right.
I'll get out of here. They'll go to heaven. It's a done deal. And you know, I don't even want to get caught up on the, how, well, when they're going to show up. I don't care when they show up. I don't. I'm eternal.
That's right.
I'm not looking at the clock. It won't be long. It won't be long. I'm not looking at the clock saying, well, if they don't come with me in this, I don't even care. That's not even a worry. I know they're going to be with me. Don't try to put man's carnal thinking on what God's trying to do. There you go. Well, how long was Adam and Eve in the garden then? If you want to put times on things. No clue. Could have been a billion years that they walked around the garden. But all you see is the day that she ate from the seed, the tree of good and evil. That's when time started. Day one. But guess what? When I get out of here, that's when it starts to go away. So I'm not going to be looking at the clock. The only time I'll be worried about is a 1,000-year reign. Once that curse is broken, that's the end of it. But even that'll be a blip on the radar to me. That won't even be. That'll be a day. That's a day. That's not long either. And I thought, my goodness, we worry about so many things that don't even matter. Let's just enjoy what we got. I'm not even in a rush to get to heaven. I'm looking forward to going, but I'm going to enjoy my life while I have it. I'm going to enjoy this right now. If I can walk, I'm going to walk. If I can run, I'm going to run. I'm just going to enjoy what God's giving me right now. Because we got such a great understanding and a revelation that we can enjoy this life. In the middle of all this darkness, it's light here in Goshen. We can see, we can hear, we can talk, we can fellowship. We're not by ourselves. This is a many-membered bride body. That's a blessing. Oh, man, it'd be terrible to be the only child. But I'm not the only child. This is a many-membered bride body. You know, sometimes parents, they go, well, I don't want them to be by themselves. I want them to play with people. That's okay. Get some friends. Don't be by yourself. I got friends. I got bodies of believers that believe God with me. I'm not by myself. I'm serving God with a group of people that want to encourage me along the way, that push me forward even when I want to stop. You know, I got so many hospital stories and all this kind of junk, but that's just where my mail is at. I thought, you know, when I was in the hospital, I had this medicine or whatever, and it would make your hand shake. And I'd get so embarrassed about it. So people would come, and it'd be time to eat or something, and I'd be like, nah, I'm not that hungry. Because I didn't want them to see my hand shaking. You know, I'd be like, oh, I can't cut the food and all that kind of stuff. And Pastor Moore and Brother John would come, and they'd be like, well, we're just going to stay a little bit longer. I'm like, okay. They'd be like, okay. Well, they'd be like, did you get your food? Yeah. I'd be like, oh, it's on its way. It'll be here in a little bit. You guys can head out. And they're like, nah, we'll stay. And then the food would get there, and they'd be like, well, you need somebody to cut it up? I'm like, yeah, that'd be great. And they'd cut it up, and then I'd still be sitting there like, well, I'm not going to try to eat right here while they're still sitting there. And they'd be like, well, we're going to help you out. Just go ahead and eat a couple bites. And I'm like, lo and behold, 30, 40 minutes later, I finished all my food, and they'd be like, well, I guess we can head out now. They were encouraging me. I needed that. I needed somebody to push me along the way. You're going to need that sometimes when you come in here. You're going to sit down, and you're going to need to eat. You're going to be hungry, but you're going to be too embarrassed to just go ahead and chomp down on it. Let somebody just help you a little bit. Let's break it down a little bit, because sometimes the Sunday night service will help cut the food up for you a little bit. Let them cut it up for you and feed it to you a little bit. Thank God for the Wednesday night when the minister gets up, maybe cuts down one little piece of steak that Pastor Moore gave out, cut it up a little smaller bites for you. Let's help you out a little bit. You need to eat. You got to eat. I see you're hungry. I know you've been out there in the world starving. Let's go ahead and get some food in your belly. I know you might be embarrassed because you went through this on Tuesday. You had an argument with your wife on Friday. But thank God somebody's serving you food. Real food that's going to help get you strong. This is protein in here. This is going to get you up on your feet. Because I know the battles. I know you go through stuff. You come in here too embarrassed to sit down. No, sit down and eat. Let's stay just long enough to get some food in your belly. Let's get some water in your system. Let's get your food and drink in here. Let's get you taken care of. Why? Because I know you need it. I know you got to have it. You're my brothers and sisters. You know, even that prodigal son story. You know what made him turn around? The food. The food. He was sitting there eating with those pigs and said, man, even the servants in my father's house have better food than this. Had to turn around and go back home. I know where my food is at. I know where my bread is buttered, like Brother Kevin said. I know where I can come and get a good meal. Whether I've been through the miry clay or not, I come in here and eat. That's what you need. If you want to talk about having faith and being stronger, you got to come in here and eat. That's what's going to help you out along the way. And we're sitting at the master's table where we come and dine every time. Oh, my goodness. See, out there, there's a shortage. There's a shortage. But in here, there's no shortage of meat. There's no shortage of water. That's what the song says. Come, let us feast, my sisters and brothers. See, I'm not opening up the table for everybody else. This is just for family. This is for the inheritance. This is for the heirs. This is special dinner. This is for people that can eat it. You know, even Brother Jeremiah said, I'm speaking to you guys in Romans because you're mature. Yeah, I can take it. Be strong. Oh, you can tell me about something going on. I can even understand when people say, well, don't eat meat because it offends your brother. I can understand that. I even got an understanding on that. I understand that there's going to be things that I do that would offend you that I don't do around you. There's things I do all the time not around you. And I'm sure there's things that you do all the time not around me. Brother Dwayne says that. He said the best. He says, not every chapter in your life book needs to be read out loud. It don't need to be read out loud. Not all of them. I got some victories I like to read out loud all the time. There's some other things that I learned and I don't like reading out loud all the time. But I will, as a brother and sister, to help you not do it. Amen. I will. We can sit down one time and talk and make sure you don't go through the same thing I went through. Because I want you guys, that's real love. I want you to have it better than I have it. I mean, that's even what parents do. I want you to have it better than I had it. I want you to have it better than I had it. And, you know, obviously that you know, sometimes that makes some spoiled bad kids. But in here, we get correction, too. So we get it better. We get it better than they had it, but we still get correction. And there's still a line to toe and those kind of things. But I thought, praise God for that. I'm going to go over and read that where I got that prophet's reward is Matthew 10 and 41. Pastor Moore, you referenced it, but that's the scripture from where that ties into. He said, he that receiveth a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. Just so you guys know, that's in the Bible. I don't want anybody to think that I just made that up. And I thought, my goodness, you know, we think about all these different things about, I mean, sometimes I don't even think we appreciate eternal life. Like the gift of eternal life that we get, that inheritance that we get for that, I mean, that takes care of everything. Yes, it does. I mean, that is the answer for everything. Yeah. Oh, you got a problem here? I got eternal life. I got eternal life. I got eternal life. It's like, do you know what that means if I have eternal life? That means I have God's own life inside of me. That means I cannot sin. That means I cannot unbelieve. That means I understand my mess for now. That's what eternal life, when you say eternal life, the equation of that is that you are God's own life. I'm God's own life. That's what eternal life is. That, because God is the only thing that's eternal. So I have God's own life, and I thought, my goodness, praise God for that. So I'm gonna read a quote here from Brother Branham. Pastor Moore was talking about how even Moses forsake to be with Pharaoh and go with the people of the Lord. So let me read that. It's over in Why Cry Speak, 1963, Brother Branham. He says, and Moses to be Pharaoh, he was the next coming Pharaoh. He's talking about how Moses was basically Pharaoh's son, adopted son. And he was coming to the next Pharaoh with favor amongst the people, and yet he regarded, esteem means to regard. He regarded the reproach of Christ greater things than all that Egypt could afford to give him. Egypt was in his hands, but yet he knew to take the way of Christ was a reproach. But he was so happy to know that there was something within him that made him regard this approach to Christ, reproach of Christ rather, greater than all the glamour that he had inherited. He had an inheritance inside of him that was far greater than what the outside inheritance had given him. The inheritance that God had given him was greater than anything Pharaoh had given him. Oh, if we could be like that today and let the Holy Spirit anoint that we have within us, that faith to a godly life consecrated to Christ. Now, with such a faith as this he had, he noticed and he regarded that reproach to honor. And this is where I want to get to. He said, today somebody can say, hey, are you one of those people? And Brother Brandon was like, no, you're just a little ashamed of it. Don't be ashamed of it. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Don't be ashamed to say you're one of them. You've got something on the inside of you. You don't have to be ashamed of this. You should be proud. This is a family name that I'm proud to have. Mrs. Jesus Christ. Do you know what comes with that? Oh, I can take care of this. That world and the world to come. Amen. I can take care of that problem. I know every man I meet. I know every spirit I deal with. Amen. They even listen to me. I can pray for healing and God will honor it. I can pray for understanding and God will give it. I can ask for revelation and God will grant it. That's right. I can give eternal life. Do you know that's what got Jesus in trouble when he started talking like that? He said, I can give eternal life. And you say, well, how did he say it? He said, I have the power to forgive sin. They said, who are you, a man, making yourself equal to God. That's what made him equal to God, is that he could forgive sin.
Right.
He said, when you see me, you see the Father.
Amen.
That's the same thing. When you see me, you see Jesus Christ.
Right.
When you see Jesus Christ, you see the Father. So when you see me, you see the Father.
Right.
I have the power to forgive sin.
Amen.
I've got loved ones that unbelieve every day.
Amen.
That don't no more want God than you can give it to them.
Amen.
But guess what, Satan? They're going to be there.
Amen.
They're going to be there. I don't have a doubt about it. It's not even a question mark in my mind.
Right.
I there used to be a time period where we in this church would worry about ourselves being there.
Amen.
We're so far beyond that
that
I'm not even thinking about me. I know I'll be there.
Amen.
I know I'll be there. I'm taking people with me.
Amen.
And here's the thing about it. My token has been applied before we get on the train.
Yeah.
You know, see, Brother Brandon was talking about that. That fare's got to be paid before you get on the train.
Right.
You can't get on the train and then pay the fare. You got to have your token in your hand when you get on the ride for the ride.
Yeah.
You can't wait to get over to the White Throne Judgment and then have the price paid. It's got to be paid before the foundation of the world.
Right.
Jesus paid it all before the foundation of the world. I don't get there and get judged and then hopefully make it. I know I'm going to be there.
Right.
I'm not even getting judged. The price has already been paid.
Amen.
Oh, my. See, you know, there's so many types in there and those things. Because this thing, if that was the case, you could just almost buy your way in. You could work your way up to it. Pay for it when you get there. This ain't the Catholic Church. There ain't no purgatory. You don't get to sit around and collect coins until you get enough to get in. You're either in or out. And it happens on this side. There's a record of what you do on this side. And it's playing just like TV.
Amen.
It'll show exactly what you did with the word. When the word came across your path, it'll show what you did with the word. That's all God cares about, is what you did with the word.
Yeah.
And I think about that all the time. I think, my goodness, we get so much preaching to us. We get so much things to us. And I thought, I'm like Moses. I'm going through with you guys. I'd rather go through with God's despised few than the rest of the world. That's I'm going through with that. I'd rather go through with you guys than anybody else. This is my family. This is who I love. This is who's going to help get me through. Because they're the only people that understand the supernatural things that we deal with. You know, you think about that and you think, oh, well, Brother Jay, if you know, what are you getting at? I'm saying you use the example of a funeral. I've been to a funeral sad. It's depressing. It's a terrible situation. You know, somebody's losing a loved one. I lost a loved one, and you're there, and you're thinking, man, if all I thought was that I'm losing them, that I would never get them again, I'd never see them again, I'd be miserable. That would be sad. But I just know I'm placing them.
Amen.
That's a different story.
Right.
Yeah, it's different if you're getting evicted from a house,
Amen.
And they're taking all your stuff away, right. And you're never going to see it again. But when the movers show up, I don't cry over the couch. I know I'm going to see it again. I know it's just going to a better place. I'm not crying that the TV gets taken off the wall. I know it's going to a better place. I see my stuff, my loved ones, my things that I love and cherish getting packed up and taken to a better place. That's how that gives me joy when the rest of the church is crying. I'm saying that, but I know I have something on the inside of me. I got something on the inside of me that's greater than anything on the outside that lets me know without a shadow of a doubt that my loved ones are going to be there.
That's right.
That's a true inheritance. That's something nobody can take away from me. And that's the thing about inheritance. You didn't give it to me.
No.
You had nothing to do with it. You had nothing to do with me getting this inheritance.
No.
So since you had nothing to do with it, you sit there and be quiet while they're reading the will, telling me what I get. And just let me get all that I can get, and I'll leave the room. That's how I feel when I come in here. God gives me answers after answers after answers after answers. And I see people come to the church, and they walk away, and I'm going, I don't know what happened to you. I don't know why he didn't call your name. I don't know why he didn't say you could have. He said I could have a lot. He gave me everything. He said, I give you all. I bequeath all of this to you. He said, 100%. I'm the only beneficiary on the policy. I got 100%. I don't know why he didn't know your name. I don't know why he didn't put your name on there. I don't know why. I thought you knew him.
Right.
You said you pray to God. You told me God told you to come here. But why are you leaving? You told me God told you this was your church. Why are you walking away? You told me God told you this. God told you that. And then you walk away. And I go, well, maybe your name ain't on there. But mine's this. I get answers every service.
Amen.
I get my questions answered. Matter of fact, sometimes I make up questions. I do. I go, well, what if this came up? How would I handle that? And God come in here, he'll answer my hypotheticals. He'll answer my hypotheticals. Yeah, and then when the situations come around, I go, man, God saw around corners. I thought, what would I do if I had a daughter? And God answered it. What would I do if I had a son and they did this? God answered. What if I had a wife and God did this? God, these are hypotheticals at the time. He manifested them and made them real. But I mean, he could do that on anything. Well, what if I had a boss that I didn't like? God can give you an answer on that. And then when you start dealing with your boss, maybe you do like him today. Tomorrow you might not. God can give you the answer on that. He can see right around those corners. I just come in here with my, I'm ready. I come in with that big cup ready to say, fill me up, Lord. Amen. I don't want it to be a waste of time. This church is too important to come in here and waste my time.
Amen.
You know, we do meetings sometimes, and I'm on some different boards or whatever, and whenever it starts going off the rails and we're going to waste time, let's go ahead and end it. Don't, I'm not coming here to waste time, especially on volunteer boards. Amen. They're not paying you to be there at all. Uh-uh. They want us to keep talking for a couple hours. Don't worry about it. You're wasting my time.
Yeah.
Don't even waste my, I could be somewhere else. I come to church because I want to. I love coming to church. I don't come here for somebody to waste my time. I want to hear the word of God and the word of God. That's what I came here for. If you come in here and tell me how bad your day was, you're wasting my time. Go ahead and end the meeting now. Sit down and shut up. I want to hear about the word. I came here on a volunteer basis. I came here to get some help. I came here to hear from God. And if that's not you and you got a doubt in your mind, stay seated. We got enough brothers and sisters to carry the church. Until you get it together, just be quiet. Because what's going to happen, as soon as you start talking, everybody that knows what it is will know you're wasting time.
Amen.
But I praise God. I come in here not to waste anybody's time. I come in here to hear the word, to receive the word, to pick up the word, to give the word, and just keep on moving.
Amen.
Why? Because I'm looking forward to getting out of here. I know this. I'm just passing through this place.
Amen.
This world is not even my home. I'm just passing through. That gives me a rest even when I see it going in chaos. I'm thinking, oh man, I wish I could clean it up, but it's not my house. Not my house. I wish they would take their shoes off at the door, but it's not my house. I wish they would take a shower, but it's not my house. I wish they would boil the water, not my house. I want them to be cleaner than they are, but it's not my house. I come in here and I just praise God for what I get to praise God for, and I get to go out of here blessed. Every service, even our Sunday's night service, are blessings to me.
Yes.
If you ever get a chance, if you're listening in and you ever get a chance to get here on a Sunday night, please do it. It's VIP access, exclusive membership only. We are talking about all the hidden things that you ever could ever want to know. That part I can tell you. That's the only part I can tell you. Now, I'll say this and I'll sit down. So we had read Romans 7. There's a house, and the kids read it. Miss Courtney read it. I read it. We read it, and Miss Courtney wasn't going to be able to come on Sunday night. And she was like, you think you could find some kind of way to play that? And I was like, I wish I could, honey. I really do. Like, I if somebody I'd want to break the rules for, I would just put it on a phone call and just leave the phone off to the side. And I was like, but I can't. You got to be there. And I'm glad I didn't, because I would have been distracted, because I was taking so many nights, I wouldn't have been able to help her at all. I was typing away like, Brother Jeremiah said this, but you got to be here. You got to be here. It's one of those things you got to be here to experience. It's that little room experience, and it's on everything. I mean, we get so much guidance and stuff. I mean, here's the thing, I'll say this, I don't want Satan to buffet you and say, well, I can't make it there, I can't, who cares what Satan says? He's a liar. God knows your desire. If you can make it here, be here. But if you can't, you're going to get the answers on Sunday morning. You're going to get answers on Wednesday night. And you start fellowshipping more, is what you should do. That's what you. If you can't get Sunday night, get a Tuesday night. Get a Tuesday morning. You got enough people here that are retired, they got different schedules. You should be able to not be alone all week. You should be able to have somebody to fellowship with. It's just in the body. That's it. Everybody talks about being available. We're available. You got to show yourself friendly, though. You can't just sit in the house and wait for us to call you. We're busy. We got things to do. Being available might mean you're going with Brother Jeremiah to move some brush. But you're going to be able to fellowship. You might be moving some bricks with Caleb. But you're going to be able to fellowship. And you got to look at the end goal there. What are you really trying to do? You might be free labor for a couple weeks. You might be lazy. You might need it. You might need some fellowship. I'm just telling you. That's what I learned. I learned that myself. I'm telling you about myself. I'm not even telling you I'm telling you me. I learned how to not be lazy by giving away free labor. It'll help you. You'll see the value of time. You'll be like, well, they really are. I'm really slowing them down. You go to help Brother Don and you don't know how to. Let's put it this way. I'd use my most recent example. If I went to go help Caleb put some bricks up and I don't know how to do bricks, I am slowing him down every brick I pick up. He's faster if I don't show up. He is. I mean, he's like, okay, can you mix the mortar? Nah, how much water? What's the sand? What do we got? What's the mixture? What's the? Don't worry about it. I'll just do it. Okay, how many bricks do you need? I just need all of them. Well, there's a bunch of them. How many? Put as many as you can on this spot right here and keep following with me. Set the line. Right. I'm just saying that you go be some free labor. You'll learn that that person's slowing down to help you. And then you understand what leadership is. You understand what timing is. You understand what preparation is. It'll teach you so many things. Just go out and help somebody. Amen. And get some fellowship. Get some things along the way. Because this body of believers can help you in all facets of your life. Amen. The more you open your hand, the more you'll see God can bless you in everything. Amen. If you kind of restrict it and go, well, I know how. I'm a hard worker. And because people do that all the time. Well, I'm a hard worker. I don't need to learn how to work. Yeah, and you're a liar too. So you need that. You need to get that self-righteous spirit off of you, because you're not a hard worker. Anybody that has to boast about that is not a hard worker. It's just known that you're a hard worker. I don't have to say. Caleb doesn't have to tell me he's a hard worker. Don Deskin doesn't say I'm a hard worker. Ted Brady doesn't say I'm a hard worker. They just work hard. That's the proof of it. They just do it. Pastor Morris never said I'm a hard worker. He just works hard. So when you say that, I'm like, nah. Already, strike one. I've been around long enough to know. Yeah, okay. But I'm just looking at it and saying, Lord, we get so many answers in here that, you know, and even thinking about going to see your pastor about all these things, sometimes people get caught up in that and they go, well, I'm a man. I can make my own decisions. I can do, yeah, you're a man. Thank God you are. And you can change your mind.
That's right.
Because what Brother Branham said, when the angel comes and tells you something,
right,
you drop what you were thinking,
right,
and pick up what the angel says.
Right.
So if you think I'm giving you the word of God to help you, I'm an angel now.
Yeah.
Says, listen to your pastor. Get some help. It can make this life so much easier. And you know, I can use myself. If I had a degree when I first, if I'd have got a degree right when I first got out of high school, my life now would be way easier. Mm-hmm. I would have had 20 years at a certain job or 30 years at a certain job. I'd be retired almost.
Right.
Right? My mom, if she toughed it out and went to Toledo, even a baby in tow, life is different.
Yeah.
Easier. She's got a 401k, pension, retirement. Now, she's got the boys, and we love it. And God answers that prayer. But I'm looking at it and saying, you know, I guarantee you Jonah would have preferred to have walked to Nineveh. I guarantee it. I guarantee he would have preferred to have walked or rode a horse, a donkey or something to Nineveh, as opposed to getting thrown off the boat. When Jonah got thrown off the boat, he thought he was going to die. He was committing suicide. He said, I know why the storms are coming. I know why they're here. I know who upset God, because they were confused. They were like, it wasn't calling for a storm. It wasn't supposed to rain. We're supposed to have a clear trip. Somebody must have upset God.
Right.
Who did it? Let's take lots. Jonah's like, I know who did it. It's me. Throw me overboard and I guarantee everything. As soon as they tossed him, the wind settled down. As soon as he gets in the water, he thought he was going to die. Gets in the belly of that fish, still thinks he's going to die. Then he stays alive a little longer. He's like, well, while I'm here, I might as well go ahead and pray to God, since I'm here, and just thank him for getting me out of a couple of situations. But I guarantee you that he would have much rather have not went in that fish. God got the blessing out of it. But I'm telling you, I'm giving you some advice. If God says, go to a college at a certain place, go. If God gives you advice on dating, take it. God gives you advice on a job, do it. He's giving you the answers to help you. Now, we always say we got another answer for you, but I tell you what, if you could walk... walk there. Don't take the fish. That's all I'm going to say. I love this place. I love being one of the believers. I love being a part of this body of Christ. I love to be able to say that I am one of them.
Amen.
You know, Sister Mel, you are one of them.
Amen.
You don't got to wait till the end of the road. When you get a new birth, it ties you into being one of them. It wakes you up that you are a son and daughter of God, that you're entitled to all these benefits. You got a new birth. That's it. You're ready for the journey. If the rapture was to happen tonight, you're ready to go.
Amen.
That's it. That's the only requirement. I don't have to understand the whole book of the Bible. Matter of fact, I didn't understand Romans 7 until Sunday night.
That's right.
I loved Romans 7 and Romans 8 and Romans 9. I loved it, but I loved it in parts.
Right.
I had pieces of it. I had parts of it. I had things that I would quote. And I would skip 7 and get over to 8 and say all things. And then I didn't even follow it through to go all that he called, all that he justified. And then even understand justification, that I didn't do it in the first place, because I always thought, oh, I had this wrong, that wrong. No, God sees me as perfect.
Amen.
He sees me as spotless.
Amen.
I'm pure white to God.
Amen.
You know, a lot of times people go, well, you had this, you had to get that. No, you're looking at two different things. When I say I'm getting cleaned up from the inside out, my inside is perfect. Amen. And if I never clean this outside, it ain't going anyway. It ain't going anyway. So I'm still clean from the inside out. You just may not see it because you might not be over there. But I'm still cleansed from the inside out. That's the truth of it. My soul is from the inside. Then we got my theophany and my glorified. That's from the inside out. See, a lot of times the church world will go, well, then your spirit will get cleaned up and you'll think different. No, I still have memories. And however long I sit in church, I have memories of what was bad and what was good. I still have memories. I can say that that's still my spirit realm. I still got a call to it. I still got a call to my flesh. I still got a call to those things. But I'm on the inside, I'm getting clean from the inside out. Why? Because that's God's own life inside of me. He's obligated to that. And I love this, and I love even what you said, Pastor Moore. I'm going to sit down. He said, you know, when Jesus said that prayer, he said, Father, don't take them out of the world. Keep them. Keep them while they're in it. God has been keeping us while we're here. You know, the church world is so such in a rush to get moving there and moving there. They don't even know where they're rushing to go. I know where I'm going. I don't even have to rush. God is keeping me even in this insane world. God bless you, Pastor Moore.
It's good to have a God that knows all things. Because God, He comes to this place and He said, because I deal with all of y'all. And God will come in here and He'll tell y'all stuff. And I know He ain't talked to me. And I ain't giving no pointers. But God comes in here and boom, 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 boom. Answer prayers. And I'm sure sometimes you sit and you think, He's told him. No, God knows what's going on in all of you. It shows you how much God cares for you.
Yes. Amen.
That He would take time out of His busy schedule. He's keeping the world turning.
Yeah.
It's keeping it moving so it doesn't slow down. It doesn't stop. He's moving the suns. He's making sure every heart in here is beating. Yes. He's doing all these things. Every heart in the world.
That's right.
Yeah. Every net.
Yeah.
He's got those counted.
Right.
Every sparrow.
Yes.
He's done all of this at the same time. Then He comes in here on a Wednesday night and talks personally to you.
Amen.
That's amazing to me. And I just shake my head because, like I said, y'all talk to me, and so I know where you're at. And Jay has no clue what he's talking about in that sense, except for the fact that he's just yielded to God. And God's coming in here and talking to you about your home, about yourself, about your job, about your kids, about your wife, your spouse. And He just covers all of this. And everybody's sitting here like, how did He know? It wasn't Jay. And I'll just leave it at that. I am glad that we have an inheritance. The thing I love about it is that the will is His word. You know, the testator has already died. And the will has been read for 2,000 years. And we found ourselves in that will. And it's so beautiful because, like you said, if He didn't know you, then you can't inherit anything. You might say, oh yeah, I know Nate, we're best pals and all that. Check my will out. See how much I love you. I love my family. I love my kids. I love my wife. But you, who are you? And that's the way it is with God. God loved us. That He put us in His will. And then when He died, then that will came effective. A will is not even effective until after the person dies. And after the death, then all of the inheritance can be divvied out to the family. And when you all gather together, y'all are listening for one name. Y'all ain't listening to what I'm getting. Y'all listen for y'all's own name. And that's the way it is with the Word of God. When that Word of God is coming forth, You're not sitting here trying to say, is he talking about Jay? Is he talking about Jeremiah? I'm like, Lord, it's me. It's me, Lord. I need this. And we're in a place now that we're able to take people with us. No one has ever been able to do that. No one has ever been able to take their loved ones. But no one's ever had this prophet's reward available to them. And thank God for the prophet. And people are scared of the prophet's reward. They think, oh, well, you know, you can't, you got to watch how you say that you're going to get what. I had a man tell me that. You better watch about a prophet's reward, how you apply that. Why do I need to watch? It's mine. Brother Branham was my prophet. And Brother Branham was given a reward. And since I believe the prophet, I can receive the reward. And the thing is, people are still trying to figure out how they're going to get their loved ones there. They're trying to drag them to church, trying to get them to the altar, trying to get them saved, trying to get them to come. And I listened to the music today, and this lady was doing a sinner's prayer. And she got finished with the sinner's prayer, and she said, if you repeated this after me, then you are saved. And I'm thinking, they have no clue. They have no clue what salvation is. They don't even have a clue on how to be saved. Repeating after somebody else is not the way to heaven. The Word of God is the way to heaven. And you got to find your name in there. You got to be listed with His inherited children. And if you're not related to Him, you ain't getting nothing. And if you're related to me, everything that I get, I'll share with you. A lot of inheritance is inherited from its family wealth, because it's not that they went out and got a job, but it was passed down by family. Well, God's got family wealth. And He's passing His family wealth to us. And we're not rich because we went out and done some good work and did so much, but we're rich because we're the Son of God. We belong to Him. We're part of His family, and we're going to inherit it all. God bless you. Come on, musicians. It's good, Jay. I enjoyed that. Remember Christy? I went out to see her and her mom today, and her mom's doing pretty bad and she needs prayer. But I told her, I said, that we believe God and we don't even pray as people defeated. I said, ain't nothing in the scripture about being defeated. I said, we're going to pray to God touch you. And I told her about Jay. I said, Jay's been in that same position. Jay was where you are. Jay had, the doctors gave up on him, only gave him hours. And I told her, I said, but God has the final say. And she's like, that's the truth. So I want you to keep her in your prayers, because she's a serious case, and she needs God to move. But you know what? We've seen Him do it before. Infection don't stop God. Problems don't stop God. And you might think, you know, well, I don't know the details. You don't need to know the details. That's like people always tell me, say my name when you go to church. I don't need to say your name. God knows who you are. It's like, it ain't going to make no difference if I say it in home or at church. You know, God knows who you are. So you keep her in your prayers. And, yes, sir. Yeah. Just keep her in your prayers, her and Christy and her dad, too.
Amen. Before I left, I had a friend that I worked with for a long time. She lives in Tennessee now, and she called me. She actually sent me a text about her son having some heart issues, and I just sent her a prayer, and I just know she knows who I am. She knows who we are. And God, just touch her son. Bring him through. I don't even know the circumstances. I don't even need to say his name like you just said. Right. God, just touch there. And as I was sitting in here tonight, this is the most important appointment I have all week.
All week.
All Sunday. Yeah. This is the most important place. It's over work. It's over family. Mm-hmm. Because that's a distraction.
It is.
This is the Word of God that I need to get through.
Yeah. Right.
And it's the Son of Man. It's not my best friend James. It's not my pastor. It's the Son of Man giving me, like you said, He knows what's going on. There is nothing out there that's more important for me than right here to get marching orders to keep moving. I'm just so thankful for a place that has peace in the Word of God.
Amen. Amen. And it's good because, you know, what you're picking up here, you're taking it out and it becomes part of your life. And when the rest of the world, I don't care how evil they are, you said there's no love out there. I don't care how evil, how bad the rest of the world is. You're taking the love of God to them.
Yes.
And giving, and the thing is, you got to understand, you are the only God they'll ever see. And they may be Ebenezer Scrooge, the worst person alive, but God can change the heart of a person. And all he needs is for you to just present the body. Just get in that atmosphere. You say, oh, it's bad, it's toxic, it's this, it's that. That's all right. God's got some bleach. And just splash you in amongst the evilness of this world. And you can turn hearts around of people who you don't even realize need you. They need you more than you need them. When I walk out of a job, that's God walking out of a job. When I go to Kroger's and I walk out the door, that's God walking out the door. Everybody God wanted to meet at that time is already met him. That's how important you are.
That's right.
You're binding, you're loosing, you're sending people to their reward, and you're sending people to judgment. And how they treat you is how they treat God.
Amen.
And when somebody mistreats me, I always think, God, hopefully they run into somebody else, another piece of God somewhere, that they can somehow quicken something in them, because they sure did do me wrong. But I don't even worry about that. I just move on to the next patient. Because that's why we're here, people. That is why we're here. You wonder why you're working, Look around. See where the light is coming from. You see light in your job. You know where that's illuminating from? Right there. Every time you walk in the door, the light's on. And every time you walk out, and because the light is in you, you don't realize when you walk out the door, it goes dark again. So take that light with you when you go. Realize that you're inheriting everything. And these poor people, the best they can do is love you. Because if they don't love you, they don't love God. I don't care how much they carry their Bible. I don't care how good they try to be. If they don't love you, they don't love God. Come and dine. The master calleth. Come and dine. Jesus has a table spread. And we eat hearty around this place. Where the saints of God are fed. He invites his chosen people, us, to come and dine. Amen. Don't forget, come back expecting on Sunday. Brother Peter Okeo, I'm going to text him and let him know we're having services now. He's going to be here. I looked again. He's going to actually land on Tuesday. So he may preach Wednesday the 10th or the 11th. And then he'll have the Saturday, Sunday services. So I'm going to let him know what he's going to have to do when he gets here. He's got work to do. I was talking to my brother today, and I told him Peter was coming and what we were doing. He said, does he know this? I said, not yet. But that's all right. You know, you've got to be ready to pray. Preacher died at a moment's notice. Amen. Jesus has the table spread where the saints of God are fed. He invites his chosen people to come and dine. Oh, in this manner he does be, and he supplies our every need. Oh, his sweetness up with Jesus all the time. Won't you come and dine? The master calleth, come and dine. Yes, you may feast at Jesus' table all the time. And he who fed the multitude turned the water into wine. To the hungry calleth now, come and dine. Soon the Lamb will take his bride. Soon the Lamb will take his bride to be at his side. All the host of heaven will assembled be.
life. And with Jesus, we will feast eternally. Won't you come and dine? The master calleth, come and dine. Oh, you may feast at Jesus' table all the time. And he who fed the multitude turned the water into wine. To the hungry calleth now, come and dine. Won't you come?